Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Mother's Day to everyone that's here this morning. We've been preaching through Galatians, and this is a special Mother's Day edition of our Galatians message, which means I'm going to in some way twist the passage so that it will have some application to Mother's Day. No, really, I'm going to preach the passage in context, but we'll make some applications as we go through. That's what we do here at Harmony Baptist Church. We teach the Bible verse by verse, and that's what we like here. So, Galatians, living by faith. And this Sunday we're starting chapter 2, and so we will be talking about Paul's visit to Jerusalem. That's what he did at the beginning of chapter 2. And just to give you a little background on this, last week we talked about Paul defending his apostleship, and the week before that we talked about Paul defending the gospel. And what had happened was, imagine a church like this, and imagine that this church has just been started. And so the church has been taught the gospel, and imagine that the Apostle Paul had started this church. So he started it, and he's taught us all how to be saved. And then he leaves, and after he leaves, some people come from a big church that we respect, and they come down and they teach us that Paul was a fraud and a fake. And they tell us that the gospel that Paul taught was fake, that it's not real, it's not authentic, and they start to teach us that you have to keep all these rules in order to be saved, that it's good to believe in Jesus, but you also have to obey all these rules. And that's exactly what had happened. Paul had started the churches in Galatia. Galatia is not a city, it is a region, and therefore there were a multitude of towns and cities, and there were many different churches. And Paul had started these churches, and he had taught the people how to be saved, and after he taught them how to be saved, then he had left. And after he left, false teachers had come in from Judea, from Israel, and they had said, Paul's not a real apostle. Well, we come from the real apostles. We come, we know the people in Jerusalem. We were taught by them. And they say that in order to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus, and then you have to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised. And so that's what they taught. You got to keep the Jewish ceremonies, and you got to keep the law of Moses. And so they taught this false gospel, and they attacked the Apostle Paul. So Paul has defended the gospel in chapter 1. Then he's defended his call to be an apostle, because they were attacking that. And now in chapter 2, Paul talks about a visit that he made to Jerusalem. And this is important because these false teachers were saying that the church at Jerusalem back them and taught what they taught. So Paul's saying what happened when he went to Jerusalem. So chapter 2 of Galatians in verse 1, the Word of God says, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also." So 14 years after, most commentators think this is 14 years after Paul got saved. So Paul is saying 14 years after my conversion, I went to Jerusalem, went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And it's interesting that he took Titus, and we'll find out why in a few minutes. Verse 2, "And I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Now, just to break this verse down, Paul says, "I went up by revelation." We'll talk about that in a moment. But revelation there simply means that God revealed to Paul that he should go to Jerusalem. So he went up by revelation. And he communicated unto them the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. Some people think that Paul did this in order to check and see if what he was preaching was right. I don't believe that because Paul stated already that he was trained by Jesus Christ, that he got his gospel straight from Jesus Christ. So if you get your gospel straight from Jesus Christ, why would you need to check with the Church of Jerusalem to see if what you're preaching is right? So the reason that he did this is because he's trying to check and see if they're teaching the same thing that he's teaching. He's trying to see if they're right, because false teachers had been circulating around saying, hey, we're coming from Jerusalem and we were trained by the apostles, and we are teaching that you don't just believe in Jesus, but that you also need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. In other words, you need to keep the Jewish laws. And so Paul was checking the church to see, are you guys teaching this, or do you teach the same thing I teach? So he communicated unto them the gospel, which he preached among the Gentiles. Then he says, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, to understand this, the church at Jerusalem had people who, it had Pharisees in it. And by that, I know people that don't go to church say that churches are full of Pharisees, but it's not talking about figuratively. I mean that literally. There were Pharisees who were saved, that were believed in Jesus, that went to the church of Jerusalem. Paul himself had been a Pharisee. And so the Pharisees were very strict, and they still kept all the Jewish laws. And they believed that everybody should keep the Jewish laws. And we don't have churches exactly like that today, but some of the churches you go to, some of the churches that I've been to, my wife and I used to be missionaries. We went to lots of different churches. Some of the churches that we've been to, you had people that believed all kinds of crazy things and believed that you should obey certain rules and do this and do that. And so there were Pharisees in this church at Jerusalem that believed that everybody should keep the Jewish laws. And so Paul spoke to the church leaders, to the apostles, to the leaders privately, because he didn't want to go into the church and begin to throw hand grenades into the church and begin to say, hey, we don't have to keep the law anymore. He didn't want to do that because he thought it might cause disruption and problems in the church because of these Pharisees that were in the church. And Paul was very wise to do that. I've had lots of private conversations over the years with prominent people, preachers, and some not so prominent. And when you talk privately to people, you can talk about things that you don't talk about publicly. I had one preacher years ago when I was in Bible college, and he was a teacher there, and he's with the Lord now, but he told me, I wanted to talk to him about something, and he said, well, you're not going to record this, are you? And I said, no, I won't record it. And he said, well, good, because if you don't record it, then I can, you know, we can talk more freely. And he wasn't talking about heresy or anything. He's just, there's politics in churches and in denominations. And a lot of people don't like that, but that's the way it is. And so Paul was dealing with a political situation here. And so he walked in and he handled it correctly. He talked to the leaders first. And he found out that they believed the same thing he believed. And that's always good. So privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. By the way, I was told before we get out of this verse, I was told when I went to Bible college years ago, that Clarence Sexton said, if you ever leave a church, don't throw hand grenades in before you leave. Some people, you know, leave and they get mad about stuff, so they lob, you know, verbal grenades in to blow things up. But Paul didn't want to throw hand grenades in when he came. He didn't want to blow things up when he came. And some people are just like that. They run their mouths and throw grenades out when they're coming. So Paul didn't want to do that. So privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, he said, I went up by revelation. When did this happen? When did he get this revelation? Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now, Paul was at Antioch. Barnabas had gone and got Paul and brought Paul to the church at Antioch. And prophets come down from Jerusalem. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So this prophet Agabus had stood up and prophesied a worldwide famine. And this was the revelation from God. God gave this revelation through this prophet Agabus, and that there would be worldwide famine. And look what happened in verse 29 of Acts 11. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders, that is, the leaders in the Jerusalem church, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the revelation was there's going to be great famine. And so Paul, when he says, I went up by revelation, the church actually sent him. But when the church sends somebody, when the church has a revelation and sends somebody, when God speaks to the church and sends somebody, in other words, then the person can say, I went up by a call of God or sent by God. And that's exactly what Paul did. So he went to Jerusalem to take some relief, some money to the church. And Barnabas and Paul were sent by the church. And Paul also got Titus to go with him. Now, why did he get Titus to go with him? There's a reason for that. And we're going to find that out. Paul was a man who, when he went and preached, he didn't check into the nearest motel. He checked into the jail because he got locked up when he went to preach. Paul was a man that could stir things up. And so Paul got Titus. Now, Titus was a Greek. And Paul wanted to tweak them a little bit. He wanted to test them, because look what happens in verse 3 of Galatians 2. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, Paul took Titus with him as kind of a test. And what he was doing was he was trying to test the church and say, what will happen if I bring a Greek in here who's never been circumcised? Will they try to get him to be circumcised? And I don't know if he told Titus before he went that that's what he was going to do. That's something you'd want to tell somebody probably. We're going to test and see if they circumcise you while you're here. But at any rate, He brings Titus with him, but neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So what did this prove? This proved that the church at Jerusalem did not believe that Gentiles needed to keep Jewish laws in order to be saved. The leaders didn't believe that. They didn't compel Titus to keep the Jewish laws. They didn't compel him to become Jewish. And this was an important test case, because remember, who is Paul arguing against in the book of Galatians? Who's he arguing against? The false prophets. And what are the false prophets saying? The false prophets are saying, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And where did they claim to have gotten that teaching? Well, we got it from the apostles in Jerusalem. So Paul says, I went to Jerusalem, I took a Greek guy with me who'd never been circumcised, and they did not ask him to be. They didn't make him keep the Jewish laws, because they don't believe what these false prophets are teaching. Now, there were false prophets in the church at Jerusalem as well, Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily or secretly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So, while Paul was at the church at Jerusalem, there were false brethren that came in. They snuck into the church. And they came in to spy out their liberty that they had in Christ for the purpose of bringing them into bondage. Incidentally, false teachers always try to bring you into bondage. If you ever go to a church where people try and control everything you do, where they make proclamations that are not in the Bible, that aren't in Scripture, and they try and get you to do this and do that, and it's not in the Bible, then it's because they're false prophets. They're teaching false doctrine. And so their effort was to bring them into bondage. And a lot of people want to bring people into bondage in spiritual circumstances so that they can control those people. And that's why we just stick with the Bible here. Now, the word false prophet comes in the original. It is the word pseudadelphos. Now, this is a great word, pseudadelphos, false brethren, false brother. If you'll think of it, when we talk about something being pseudo, it means fake, like pseudoscience. It's fake science. You ever heard that before, pseudoscience? Right now, people are talking a lot about fake news. Pseudo means fake. Delphos is brother. The city of Philadelphia, for instance, is the city of brotherly love. And that's that word Delphos. So if you put them together, pseudo Delphos, it means fake brothers or false brethren. Now, Jesus warned against fake teachers that would come into the church. In Matthew 7:15, he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, most of the time when we preach this, we apply this to somebody that's in the church that does wicked things. And so we would say, well, you'll know them by their fruits, because if they say they're a Christian and yet they live an immoral lifestyle, then that's their fruits and you'll know they're not really a Christian. But that's not what this verse is really talking about. Beware of false prophets. That is someone who makes false prophecies, who teaches false things, like these people that came into the church in Jerusalem and Galatia. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. How do they look outwardly, these false prophets that Jesus warned us about? They look outwardly like sheep. They're dressed right. They do right. They act right. They don't cuss. You know, the old thing, we don't cuss, we don't chew, we don't run with those who do. Well, that's the way they are. They act right. They look right. They are false prophets that come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. How do you know what they are inwardly? Very simple. Jesus said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Now, that's very simple. You shall know them by their fruits. An apple tree brings forth apples. A peach tree brings forth peaches. Right? A false prophet, by the way, a Christian tree brings forth nuts. A false prophet brings forth false prophecy. That's what they bring forth. The false prophet utters false teachings. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And so the false prophets, the false brethren that came to the church in Jerusalem were trying to bring these people into bondage. And Paul identified them right off because what they said, when they opened their mouths, they looked good. But when they opened their mouths, he knew that they were fake because of what they said. And Paul says, "To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour," Galatians 2:5, "that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." The first part of that verse is Paul's way of, it's actually the biblical way of talking, but we don't talk that way today. We would say, I did not give these people any ground. That's what we would say. But Paul will make a statement and then put after it no to make the statement negative. So he says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. So he's simply saying, we did not give these people any ground. When they opened their mouths and started teaching false doctrine, we didn't give them any ground. We didn't submit ourselves to them, not even for 1 hour. Not even for an hour. We shut them down immediately. And he says that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. With who? With the Gentiles in Galatia. Spurgeon said this, Charles Spurgeon. He said, it is impossible, and he was commenting on this verse, he said, it is impossible for us to estimate how much we owe to the Apostle Paul. Of all who have ever lived, we who are Gentiles owe more to him than to any other man. See how he fought our battles for us. So, if you think about this, Paul stands up in the church of, or in the church of Jerusalem, and these false teachers came in and they said the Gentiles need to submit to Jewish laws. And Paul stands up and says, no, we're not going to give them a place. Now, if Paul hadn't done that, these Jewish teachers would have eventually, you know, Paul wrote Galatians. He fought against this kind of thing. If Paul hadn't done that, these Jewish teachers would have won the day. And today, I don't know what we'd be. But we wouldn't be able to come to church with the kind of freedom we can have. But Paul stood up and fought our battles for us. He fought for the Gentiles. The amazing thing was Paul was a Jew. And he had been a strict Jew. But he stood up for the Gentiles after he got saved. Verse 6 of Galatians 2. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Look what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I went to a conference with these people and talked with these people, and they seemed to be something impressive in the church at Jerusalem. They were high officials. They were apostles. They were leaders. They seemed to be somewhat, but they didn't add anything to me because I got my gospel from Jesus Christ. And Paul says, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. Now, the reason he's saying that is not because he's being disrespectful to their position. But he's saying that because when it comes to the gospel and the purity of the gospel, it doesn't matter who it is. You test them by the gospel. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You test everything by the gospel. You see some guy on TV and he's got on a 3-piece suit and he looks really nice. Listen to what he says. If he doesn't preach salvation by grace through faith alone, he's a false teacher. Let him be accursed. We test everything through the gospel. And Paul said, though we, if we apostles, if we the apostles ourselves, if I myself preach to you any other gospel than that which I have preached, let me be accursed. Let me be under the curse of God. In other words, excommunicate me. Get me out of the church. If an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel, let them be accursed. Get them out of the church. The curse of God is on them. When it came to the gospel, he said, God respects no man's person. Then in verse 7 of Galatians 2, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter in the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty to me towards the Gentiles. Paul's explaining what he means. Peter had a special call to take the gospel to the Jews. That was his call. Now, he took the gospel to the Gentiles as well, but his call was to the Jews. Paul had a call to go to the Gentiles, even though he preached the gospel to the Jews as well. Now, call is a powerful thing. I remember, it was probably before my wife and I got married, I would imagine. So it's been more than 10 years. But I was in South America in Chile, I believe, Chile. And I was at a church. And at that time, I was raising support to go to Ireland. And the people, I was a missionary. And the people at the church, some of them, said, "Why would you want to go to Ireland?" They were asking me in Spanish. "Why would you go to Ireland? Why wouldn't you come here?" Chilenos, is it Chilenos or Chileos? Chilenos, right? Okay. The Chilean people, some of them are very arrogant. And so, they said, they really are, but at any rate, they said, "Why would you want to go to Ireland? Why wouldn't you come here?" And I said, "Because I'm called to go to Ireland. There are a lot of things I enjoy that I'm not called to do. I'm called to be at this church. I enjoy preaching in the jail." I had some inmates tell me one time, "Why don't you just go into full-time jail ministry?" And I said, "I'm not called to do that." And they said, "How do you know? You enjoy it. Why don't you do it full-time?" But you know what you're called to do and what you're not. I enjoy preaching in the jail. I'm not called to do that. I'm called here. And so a call's important. "He that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles." That was Paul's calling. Let's see here. Oh, we lost our connection. I'm going to try to get my connection back here. It's a wonderful thing about technology. There we go. All right, there we are. Verse 9. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars..." By the way, if you listen to this online or if you recommend it to your friends, don't worry. I edit out all errors. So my preaching online is perfect. Has no technical errors. And when James, Cephas, and John, this is Galatians 2:9, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So he says, I love how he says this. He says, when James and Cephas, that's Peter. Cephas was another name for Peter, just like Paul was also called Saul. So when James, Cephas, and John, Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars. These people seemed to be pillars in the church at Jerusalem. When they perceived the grace that was given unto me. I just love how he says they seemed to be pillars. In other words, he's addressing these very important people and these apostles, and he says they seem to be somebody important. Now, why does Paul do that? Well, later on in chapter 2, as we'll study next week, Paul actually stands up to Peter and rebukes him when Peter taught by his actions something that was false. And so Paul is simply saying, we don't judge people by who they are or what their title is or how important they are, but we judge people by the gospel that they preach. And that's how we should judge people. "But when they, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship." So in other words, he's saying, look, they said, "We support you. We support you. We're for you, Paul." That was important. Remember, Paul's writing to the Galatians, and he's saying, look, the church at Jerusalem, the leaders of the church, the apostles, they support what I'm preaching. So don't listen to the false teachers that say they don't. "So they gave to me the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was always forward to do." Now, probably when they said, "Please remember the poor, Paul," they were concerned about themselves, because the church at Jerusalem often was poor. And they want to make sure that this famine is coming and all this worldwide dearth. They wanted to make sure that Paul remembers them. They were constantly under persecution, having issues. They want to make sure Paul remembers the poor. And Paul says, I was ready to do that. I'm always ready to do that. Now, this Mother's Day, in summary, number one, get a burden for your family. What do we learn from this passage? Get a burden for your family. How do we learn that from this passage? Well, Paul wasn't married. And he was called to go to the Gentiles and to be an apostle to the Gentiles. They were his family. And he had a burden for them. And he didn't want his family to be taught false doctrine or to have to go under the Jewish law. So get a burden for your family. Make sure that your children are in church. Make sure you're in church. It doesn't have to be this church, but go to a Bible preaching church, a church where they teach the Bible. Get a burden for your family. Number two, win your children and grandchildren to Christ. Amen. If your children aren't saved, tell them how to be saved. Make sure they get saved. And your grandchildren, make sure your family is saved. Win your children and grandchildren to Christ. Paul had won these folks to Christ. He had won the Galatians to Christ. He wanted to make sure they were saved and that they didn't get off track after they got saved with these false teachers. Listen, if you have children, it's imperative that you get your children in church. Get them in church. Some people have the philosophy, because I've heard this, we're not going to make them go to church. I was made to go to church when I was little, and I'm not going to make them. I'm going to let them make their own decisions. Look, this is not a game. Life is not a game. There are false teachers that are out there that are after your children's souls. They want to destroy your children. Get your children in church. Don't let them make a decision themselves. Get them in church while they're young so that they'll hear the truth, so that they'll get the gospel, so that they'll get good teaching, because otherwise someone else will get to them. Get them under the sound of the gospel. We have a responsibility as parents to do that. Get a burden for your family. Win your children and grandchildren to Christ. And number three, remember the poor. Paul said, the people at Jerusalem, the apostles, they wanted me to remember the poor. And he said, I was already ready to do that. Remember the poor. Now, on this Mother's Day, there's children that can't go to church today. You guys have brought your kids to church, but there's children that can't be in church with their mothers because mom won't go to church. There's children that don't have mothers. There's people, there are women that cannot have children, that don't have children. Remember the poor today. Remember those who are spiritually poor, who are poor in other ways, who are economically poor. Let's remember them. I hope that at some time in the future, at this church, that we can either get a new van or get that van to where it works and send it out and pick up some children and bring them in that can't otherwise get to church. We need to do that. We need to do that because we need to remember the poor. That is a duty that is given to us in Scripture. We need to reach people for Christ. And as you are privileged to sit here today, then think about those. Let's keep in mind those who can't be in church today and whose parents won't bring them to church. And let's remember those people and say a special prayer for those people. And let's try and get those folks in church as well. So that is the message today. Our study of Galatians, let's pray. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. And we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.